Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Praise Yahweh, say. Thank you for that, boy. I'm telling you, this is our season. How many of you believe that? Come on now. Hallelujah. This is our season for grace and for favor. Hallelujah. Just thanking Yahweh for another opportunity to come before you and what we've been talking about. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand and we'll give you a Bible. It's important for you to be able to follow along and hear what thus saith the Yahweh, but not just hear Pastor Tom running his mouth, but you can see in the word. It's not what I'm saying. It's what who's saying? Yahweh. It's his word. Amen. And so we've been talking about holiness. Hunger for holiness. And I don't know about you, but we've got to want it. But we got to understand what our responsibilities are as believers in being holy. And what does that mean? It's a set apart lifestyle. Yahweh transformed you, changed you. He gave you a new life. How many of you are inheritance or inheritors of the new life? Hey. Amen. Hey. So when we talk about inheritance of the new life, that means we had an old life. How many of you remember your old life? Are you thanking Yahweh today that you're walking in the new? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Give it up to him. It's new. It's brand new. So listen, hunger for holiness means that we want it. We crave it. We got to have it. We thirst for it. We thirst for that set-apart lifestyle. Sometimes the only way people see that a life has been transformed when they look at you. Your testimony. At work, you got to look like you set apart. You got to sound like you're set apart. You got to act like you set apart. So what Yahweh's trying to do, he's trying to get his believers right. And so let's go to Galatians, the 5th chapter. And we've been talking about the works of the flesh because that's what we're trying to get away from. But a lot of times there are works of the flesh that are obvious, and then there are some that are not so obvious. My job is to uncover. My job is to expose. My job is to reveal what some of those unspoken things are. And so as we look at Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 19th verse, and it always gets quiet when we start talking about what we're supposed to do. Tell your neighbor, don't get quiet. Receive it. Receive it. And so what we're talking about, Galatians 5, and this is our wellspring scripture. This is where we've been drawing our lesson from. 19th verse says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. That means they're what? Obvious. Which are these? They're known. And sometimes y'all know what they are and you can see them. Adultery, fornication, we've been through that. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is filthy living. Idolatry, where you begin to worship things instead of Yahweh. What's the next one? Witchcraft. A lot of things people think this is conjuring, and you know, you're doing some demonology. No, it's not just that. Do you know it also means drug use? Hello? The definition of witchcraft is drug use. Pharmaceuticals. A lot of us act like we don't know that. They're trying to give you a law. Well, I think it's already that you can perform witchcraft without a prescription. They call that spell, Budatai, Kush. You got believers that are doing farm? Yeah, you got believers who are, you know, they say they smoking. They got the card, right? The medical card. You told the doctor that you had you were stressed. You told the doctor that you had the eye pressure disease, glaucoma. You went walking in there like this. And you know they'll just write it up. Last time I checked, though, as a believer, if you wanted some peace, all you have to do is just allow the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to give you the peace. You know, anybody have been receivers of Yahweh Shalom and peace? And you didn't even have to light up to get it, did you? All you had to do is call on the name of Yeshua. Somebody need to thank him for that. You ain't got to go around the corner here and stand in line for peace. But see, these are things that are not as easily revealed. We talked about, and we see here hatred. Many believers operate now that they hostile. I have never seen so many hostile believers in all my life. You hostile, you hating on people. Variance. And see, I have to tell you what these mean, because a lot of times y'all say, well, I didn't know what variance was, so therefore, you know, I don't think it applies to me. But thank you. I got to break it down. Variance means that you're always arguing and stirring up contention. Well, emulations. You got jealous rivalry going on. Vendettas. You got to get back at somebody. Have mercy. Do believers do that? Tell your neighbor, sure do. Yeah, sure do. That's why we got to talk about it. We got to expose it. Wrath means anger. You done taken anger to a whole new level. You done taken hatred to a whole new level. Strife, you plotting and planning to divide. Strife is. Seditions. That's disunity. Bucking against the system. Heresies. You want to overtake and overthrow. You want to destroy. Envyings. That's jealousy on steroids. Murders. And a lot of times it is the obvious physical murders, but you can murder someone's character assassination out of hatred. Do believers do that? Yes, they do. Drunkenness. You're drunk. Yeah. Uncontrollable. These are the works of the flesh. Revelings. You got a party. You got to turn it up. And people don't like you. Say, why you always got to say turn up? Give me another one then. you got a party. You got to have all the atmosphere. You got to have the dance. You got to have everything. You got to go to the club. You got to go to the rave. You got to go to the house party. You just got to have it. Anybody know revelers? I'm not saying that you are a reveler. I'm saying, do you know some? Every Friday night, every Saturday. Did you know that I found out that people are partying on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday too? everything turns into a party. I didn't know people partied on Monday. I guess, hey, they're going to start the week off right. Hallelujah. What are you going to do? Hallelujah. What's the next one? And what? Such like. So if you don't see it plainly put here, that means things that are like it fall under that category, right? Of which, and I'll tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. And why do we, what, Pastor Tom, why are you talking about this? Because I must talk about this because it's my job. I want to see all of you partakers of the kingdom of Yahweh. I love you and I care about you that much that I don't want you to miss out on what Yahweh has for you. Tell your neighbor, I don't want you to miss out. So we gotta check each other. You know what check each other means? You see some stuff, check it. Don't talk about it, check it. You see something going on with one of your brothers and sisters? We all grown. Children's church is up there. You down here. So I'm assuming that if you down here, you're grown up. We can check each other. And the name, and we call that, we're encouraging each other. Because we know what each other is what? Going through, or we should know. So turn to, let's go here, 2 Corinthians, because we talked about the importance of our motivation. Are we not doing these things because we're afraid to go to hell? I'm trying not to do it because I don't want to go to hell. Well, I'm here to tell you hell is a real place, amen. But the motivation for you to do the right thing according to Yahweh should not be that you're afraid of going to hell, because that motivation is fear. And last I checked, he said, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but I've given you the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Then what is the motivation then? Let's read it. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. I ain't afraid of nothing. I ain't afraid of nobody. And if that's your motivation, you got to twist it. 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, the second verse says, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Third verse, for forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Mashiach, ministered by us, written not in ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Mashiach to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is in Yahweh, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, the Spirit giveth life. So our motivation is not fear. The letter killeth, but the what? Spirit. Our motivation is the Holy Spirit. And what do they call the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of love. So we want to live a holy life because we love Yahweh. We want to please Yahweh. We want to be those vessels that he can use. And we love him so much that we want him to use us. So we want to be right for him so that we can be used by him so that people can see our lives, people can get the gospel, people can get saved, and his kingdom is expanded. And now we have more people to go out and serve Yahweh, who deserves all of our service, all of our praise, all of our love, all of our dedication, all of our faithfulness. Are you glad about serving him? Do you love him? Therefore, what should be your motivation? Love. Tell your neighbor the motivation is love, not fear. So let's go to Proverbs, the 6th chapter. And we already read before that if we have not charity, all the things that we do is like what? Sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Doesn't mean anything. So our motivation is love. So a lot of times when we talk about holiness, and this is where we left off last week, we think about adultery. We think about fornication. We think about sexual stuff. And the people that do those things, they're bad. It's evil. It's sin. Yes, it is. But you got to also understand that there's other stuff that are just as sinful, just as evil, just as wrong. And so many times we're so quick to point the finger at everybody else. But let's reveal some of the other stuff so you can see maybe you could be doing some stuff that's just as bad. It's Proverbs 6 chapter, 16th verse. If you got it, say, I got it. Read with me. These six things doth Yahweh. Wait, hold up. So there's six things that are listed that Yahweh hates. Wow. I wonder if they're sexual. Let's see. And the seven are what? Abomination unto him. Ooh, okay. So, here goes the six things. Number 17, a proud look. Wow. Yahweh hates a proud. You, I'm all that. And a bag of Doritos. Right? And you looking down on everybody else. You criticizing everybody else, but you're proud. Guess what? Yahweh hates it. Didn't know that, did you? What's number two? A lying tongue. You know how sometimes folks get to talking? And there's a saying, when you take the story and you amplify it a little bit, you add some stuff to it, and I used to say, you put a dub on it. Is there another thing to say when you change in the story? Right, because you got a story, right? But then you take that story and you start making edits or changes creatively to make it more what? Salacious. Make it more sexy. Make it more interesting. The other saying is that you put extras on it. Anybody know people that put extras on stuff? And you say, oh yeah, they're putting extras on it. Well, guess what? The extras, that's a lie. Are believers putting extras on stuff? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Well, guess what? If you are a believer that's putting extras on stuff, I got news for you. Yahweh hates it because it's a what? A lion tongue. You got believers with lion tongues? Yes. Oh, yeah. What's the third thing? Hands that shed innocent blood. Ooh. We get to wagging our tongues and saying stuff about people. Before you know it, we done shed innocent blood. So far, I haven't seen no sexual obvious stuff. Right now, I'm seeing stuff that have to do with your mouth and the stuff that you say and the things that you create when you say stuff. I'm sorry, I got to expose it. What's the fourth thing? A heart that devises wicked imagination. Ooh, You trying to find out how you can do some stuff. Ooh! You trying to find out how you can weave and manipulate and change things. And your motivation ain't love. A person who heart devises wicked imaginations, the motivation is wicked. The motivation is evil. Tell your neighbor, Yahva hates that. Okay. Number five, feet that be swift in running. You see something happen, something wrong, and here you go. Ooh, girl, what happened? What? Did you know what? Girl, I don't know what's going on, but let me tell you what happened Sunday. You can't wait, and it's not just your feet. It's your fingers, your dialing numbers, your texting, your emailing. What's going on? You running. You can't get the news fast enough. The news don't reach you quick enough. So because the news is slow coming, there you go running. To mischief. Stuff going wrong. Well, according to the word of Yahweh, see, this ain't my opinion. Because I got my opinions, but I'm reading this not out of the book of Tom. I'm reading this out of Yahweh's word. Amen. And I check, and number five, feet that be swift to run into mischief, he hates it. Six, a false witness that speaketh lies. False evidence, false testimony. You're making up stuff. It's taking that lie to a whole new level. Guess what? Yahweh hates that. And didn't he say, let's go back to the first verse, the 16th verse. It says these six things. So far I've gone through how many? Six. And it said Yahweh hates. It says, yea, the seventh is an abomination. What is an abomination? It's something that is beyond hate. It's messed up. So let's go to number seven. He that soweth discord among the brethren. You doing stuff because you want to see the 4th of July. You want to see something ripped up. You want to see something tore up. You want to see people divided. You want to see fight. You want to see a fight. Have you guys seen the videos on YouTube and that go around social media? Two people fighting with each other. And guess what? You got all these people witnessing the fight, and nobody's trying to what? Stop it. Matter of fact, what they're doing is they're trying to. There's a word for it. We call it instigate. Anybody ever been in school before? And if you know anything about high school experience or elementary school experience, when people will find out that two people were probably at odds, then they would run to go one tell, this is what they said about you, so-and-so and so-and-so. And then that person would go run over here and say, I don't know what's going on, but so-and-so said so-and-so. So then what happens? It sows what? Because you done made this person mad. You done made this person mad. And what's about to happen? This fight about to break out. And this is what I remember. I don't know how the word got around, but after school, at a certain point, everybody, 1 o'clock, oh, no. 2:45. We're going to meet around the corner after the bell ring. And this is where what? It's going to go down. And how did everybody show up there at the same time? There wasn't was back then. I'm talking about my school days. Everybody just what? Showed up. Because they wanted to see a what? So are you telling me that believers actually want to see discord and they want to see a fight? Sadly, yes. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about it, would we? What we're talking about here, we're not talking about this. Unbelievers going to do what unbelievers going to do. Unbelievers going, that's how they live. That's the everyday thing. But when you're a believer, you've been transformed. Holiness should be your life. And that should be your aim. Instead of dividing people, can we just bring people together? Can we just love each other? Can we be in unity? Hallelujah. Because the scripture says in unity, he what? Even what? Life forevermore. So does he hate the person? No. But he hates the act. He hates the sin. And so I have a wonderful word for those people who are operating in those six things. Wonderful word for those who are operating in number seven. Got your pens ready? We're going to spell this out. Are you ready? Put your finger on your head and say, I got to get this. Okay. Capital M. E. S. S. Y. What does that spell? Messy. That is the word that goes through the Greek, through the Hebrew, and through the English. That person is what we call messy. Do you have believers who are messy? Yes. Now, Yahweh hates what messy people do. Does he hate the messy people? No. He loves the messy people. And guess what? We're created in his image. We gotta love the messy people. Amen. But we gotta hate the mess. And the best thing you can do for a messy believer is to tell them that they're messy. Check! Now! Messy believers! Maybe you need to understand what a messy believer is. Well, girl, you know he gave that testimony 2 months ago that he was delivered from sipping on that bottle, but from hearing him talk last week, I think he's still sipping on that bottle. I'm just saying, no shade. So you're going to take some information that somebody used in a testimony. You're going to turn it around and twist it. And then you're going to start sowing seeds. And then follow it up with, I'm just saying. And then you follow the I'm just saying with no shade. Anybody know what no shade means? It means I ain't trying to say nothing. I'm telling you, if anybody says, I'm just saying, no shade, messy alert! Boo, 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 boo! Girl, you know, in 1998, he cheated on his wife. And I saw him talking to Sister Jones last week. I'm just saying, no shade. Messy alert. Because some people come to you with that mess. They come talking. We gonna fellowship or whatever. See, that's wrong with you. Gotta Like my mother used to say, nip that in the bud. As soon as that come out, you as a believer helping to check your fellow believers, be like, not here, no ma'am, no sir, I don't want no mess. Why? Because if you listen to mess, your name will come up in some mess. Hello? And then when the dirty deed go down, guess who going down with it? You. And it wasn't your ship, but you went down with the captain. You know, she said that when she first came to the church, she said she was delivered from prostitution. Well, that blouse she had on looked like that's something that she wore back then. I'm just saying. No shame. What kind of alert is it, people? No, you got to say it more robustly. Messy alert. What does that mean? You need to get up out of there. No, and you can help the people. You know what you're about to say? That's messy. I don't want to be no parts of no mess. Shut it down. So, how do you know the messy alert is coming on? Well, they're key words. Let me help you out. I heard messy alert. Do you hear that one? I like this one. Hear this a lot. Well, they said, first of all, who's they? They can be anybody. Anytime you hear somebody start some mess with, well, they said. So when I do this, I'm pressing the button. I want y'all to say messy alert. Thank you. Well, I ain't trying to gossip, but did you hear? Guess what I found out? I love this one because this is the quintessential smooth way of bringing somebody in. You establish trust. This is just between me and you. Don't you feel like you're a confidant? Don't you feel kind of important that the person has trusted you with that golden information? Somebody said golden mess. And then they'll take it and then they'll say, hey, what do they say? This is just between me and you. And then this is the qualifier. Don't say nothing. You know, there's a Chinese proverb that goes, when you invite someone over, you expect them to eat what you serve. People key in on you because they perceive that you want to eat the same mess that they eat. So they try to serve it up for you because they expect you to what? Eat it. But we got something. It's called the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost has a built-in. And the Holy Ghost be like, this ain't conversation. It's going to be good for your soul. Now what you can do, help that other brother and sister. You know how you can help them? This is mess. You shouldn't, as a believer, be indulging in there. Because remember when Pastor Tom went to Proverbs? And he said that there are six things that Yahweh hates, and the seventh thing is abomination. We don't want to get caught up in that. So I tell you what, let's clear the atmosphere. Let's pray. Let's redeem ourselves. And then let's move forward in the name of Yeshua. Amen. And what you've done right there, you've showed that you are willing to walk in the spirit of holiness. Even if it means that that person ain't gonna talk to you no more, that's a good thing, because you don't need no mess in your life. You got enough stuff from the devil. You don't need nobody bringing some extra. And if anybody's been delivered from the devil stuff, you need to give him praise for that. And when you've been delivered, why should you be bound? Let's go to Proverbs, the 8th chapter. We don't want no mess. No. There's too much mess in the world. When I come to church, I don't come to church for mess. I come to church for peace. I come to church for love. I come to church for holy fellowship. I come to church for worship. I come to church to connect to my God. I don't come for no mess. So therefore, I'm putting you on notice. Don't bring no mess to me. That's my confession. Don't do it. Because you don't need that stuff. Because what happens is that mess takes root in you, takes root in your life, and you don't know what's going on. Because you done entered in to a messy situation. So we gotta understand that. Proverbs 8 chapter, 13th verse. What? The fear of Yahweh is to what? Hate evil. Not the I'm scared fear, but the reverence of Yahweh is to what? Pride. We're supposed to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way. Guess what else we're supposed to count on the hate list? The froward mouth. What is the froward mouth? Let me tell you, it's a mouth that's uncontrollable. It says all kinds of evil stuff. It just keeps on going and going and going. And if you allow that froward mouth, that person to give you all that mess, then you are a partaker. What does that mean? Everything that they're dishing out, you're a part of it. And it says, the fear of the reverence of Yahweh is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way. And the froward mouth, that uncontrollable, wicked, evil mouth, do I hate. I'm made in Yahweh's image. So when he hates stuff like that, that means I hate it. Let's go to Romans, the 3rd chapter. Are we hating people? No. We're hating the sin. But you, as a believer who have been transformed, you got to help the other believers that you see that are falling up in this. That's the love in our hearts. The 3rd chapter of Romans, the 23rd verse says, what? For all. Wait. No, they did it. No. For what? All have what? Sin. And what? Come short of the glory of Yahweh. So you looking at other believers like they are just so horrible, you as a believer have to understand that you came from some stuff too. Yahweh delivered you from some stuff too. So we don't hate the people, we hate the action. So it's up to us to try to what? Help. Because what? You've sinned too. Yeah, over there, they did a sexual sin, but you were dividing the brethren. So y'all, they sinned, and you sinned. And you fell short of the glory, and they fell short of the glory. So don't you be thinking that you better than them, because you need to get your life straight. Hello. You know, we have a term in our social history called bourgeoisie. It's a French term. And the bourgeoisie were those who were from the upper crust. And at the time, it was the middle class that they weren't born into money. They got some concepts and they worked hard and they were able to rise the social echelon. So they were called the bourgeoisie. They had wealth. They had power. But they came from humble beginnings. But as the bourgeoisie, they left that. And now they were on the upward stroke. Well, in the urban vernacular, we've taken that term bourgeoisie and we've used the term bougie. What is bougie? Bougie is supposed to be a person who they think they're what? Better. They've overcome. They were at a certain point, but now they're above it all. Bougie. Then we have another urban term called bougetto. What is bougetto? You're bougie, but you're ghetto. These are not my terms. Look it up. Google it. Bougetto. Bougetto means that you act like we bougie sometimes, but you haven't lost your ghetto ways. Somebody wanted me to spell it. B-O-O ghetto. Now, I'm using these terms because you can relate. So the criticism of the bougie person is that they've forgotten where they have come from. And they turn up their nose from where they've come from and the people from where they've come from. At least if you bougietto, at least you be going back every now and then. Like, yeah, I can relate. Well, guess what? We have bougie believers. What's a bougie believer? A bougie believer is a believer that turns up their nose at the people that are trying to come up as if you cannot relate to what they've gone through, yet you've come through that way yourself. You've fallen, but you're better than everybody else. You will point out what this person did that was sexy, but you can't even see the love that you don't have anymore in your heart. You can't even see that your mouth has said stuff that divides the brethren and sisterin, but yet you're better than they are. Bougie believers. Go to Yohanan, the 8th chapter. Your brother and sister, they need your help. They need your prayers. They need your encouragement, not your criticism. Amen. That's what they need. Yohanan, the 8th chapter. John, the 8th chapter. Why? We got to talk about this because y'all can't be out here having a false sense of holiness. You think you holy, but no, you're not. But the beauty is we can get holy. Hallelujah. He's given us a chance to get that right. You know who I love to model myself after? Yeshua. Because he was cold-blooded. And I said this one of my first sermons. He was gangster. Yeshua just boom, in your face with truth. Not just in your face, but in your face with truth. But in your face with truth, with love. It's different when you get smacked in the face with truth, love truth. That's the way he served. I want to do it like him. So it says this. Yeshua went into the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. So he was just minding his business. And the part I like about it, he says, when he went to the temple, he went to church. Just like we do. That's what we're doing right now. You went from the Mount of Inglewood and you came to church. Amen. And so he says, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees, somebody say church people. Okay. That's who the scribes and the Pharisees were. Somebody say religious people. All right. Brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had her, they had set her in the midst at church, in the temple. A woman taken in adultery. Well, that's, what does that mean? Fourth chapter. They said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very wait. She was in the very, they caught her while she was in the act. She was engaged in it. But this is the crazy thing that always perplexed me. She wasn't in the very act by herself. Where was the dude? Somebody said, chilling. Isn't that we just select people? Well, we're going to get her. Okay. They said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, Moshe in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. The letter killeth, but the spirit bringeth life. Not on the stony tables, but on the fleshly tables of the heart. So, Moshe commanded us that such should be stoned, but what saith thou? Yeshua, what you got to say about it? 6. This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But my Yeshua, oh my, oh, I love Yeshua. I love him. But Yeshua stooped down and with his finger he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So they came. They wanted to stone. They wanted to kill this woman. They was out for blood. They wanted to see her dead, according to Moshe law. So my Yeshua, so cool, so calm. All those people standing around, he just stooped down and just started writing in the ground, like he didn't hear them. 7th verse. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. And he again stooped down and wrote on the ground. And this is what I love to believe. This is from 1 Tom 3:17. You know, it's just my opinion. But you have all those accusers that wanted to stone the sister at church. It wasn't the people outside the church. It was the scribes and the Pharisees that wanted him. Okay. So he's writing in the ground. I tend to believe this. John, you was at the Snooty Fox last week. Derek, you lied about so-and-so and so-and-so. Because y'all sitting here accusing her, but I know what you did. How can I extrapolate that? Because when Yeshua was talking to the woman at the well, he had totally read her. He was like, you got a husband and you got this going on. He read her. I think that he was writing in the ground all these accusers, all these people that think that was better than her, all these people that thought that they ain't never sinned. I know what you did. There was a movie, I Know What You Did Last Summer. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, being at the eldest, even unto the last. And after all that took place, Yeshua was left alone, and the woman was standing in the midst. This is why I love him. Love is the motivator here. That's what motivates me. And it says, when Yeshua had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Yeshua said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That is the motivation. When we fall in the sin, that we encourage and lift another. In this day and age, we go looking for stones. But I say this to you stone throwers. Look in the sand from where you came from. Remember the things that Yahweh's grace and mercy and love has extended to you. You should have been knocked out by a stone, but by the grace of Yahweh, you're still standing. Hallelujah. That should be your motivation. Love. When you want to see something corrected, you want to do it in love and caring. And you want to see not one destroyed, but you want to see one restored. Restoration is the story. And I'm thankful that Yahweh has restored us. Hallelujah. Father Yahweh, we just thank you. We praise you. Oh, because your ways are not our ways. Thankful.